Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The Canner's Wife.
Bobby Moore as Jeff Hurst. Trevor Brooking and Billy Bones. Paolo Di Canio. West Ham United. We celebrate our victories. We stick together in defeat. I'm proud of our history. West Ham United. More than just a podcast. More than just a podcast.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. This is More Than Just a Podcast.
Podcast.
Season 10, episode 31. We are recording minutes, nay seconds, after the final whistle on a Monday night against the Blades at the London Stadium. If you missed it, we won 3-0. We are fourth in the league. We are the top London club. We are above Liverpool. We are above Spurs. We are above Chelsea. Well,
for now.
Chelsea just kicked off now. For now. But as we record, we are the top London club and we are fourth in the league. With me tonight is Canning Town Lynn.
Where, good evening.
I was going to say, where are you? What are you doing?
I'm in the lounge doing the podcast with you. And we are fourth. Doesn't matter about temporary or what. Chelsea might not win. If you're going to look at the league at this time of year and we're fourth, we're fourth. Yeah. Simple as.
Also with me tonight, John, where are you? What are you doing?
Good evening. I'm in my loft talking to you.
Good. No George tonight. I assume he's watching the Chelsea match with his lady wife and
Jessica. I would assume he's looking after the baby while his Chelsea season ticket holding wife
watches the game. The yeah, I'm sure. And last but not least, Nigel, where are you? What are you doing?
I'm in my front room, not lounge, just to show me working class routes.
I don't think you've ever recorded in your front room before, have you?
No, but you know, you want to crack on, don't you? You know, so it ain't worth walking up to the shed.
Yeah. Anyway, we won 3-0. We're start because I usually leave you to last, Nigel. Who did I start with?
Me, no, just last week.
Oh, right. Well, let's go in last. Let's start with you, John. John, what did you say? What was your prediction? I think you predicted a loss. Am I right? Or am I complaining?
Oh, I can't remember. Was that last week?
It was last week.
Yeah,
last
I can't remember. You tell me.
I think you said a loss. You were I don't think I did.
I think I said a loss to Man United, and I think I thought. But anyway.
Well, I am going to play it back while you're... Give us your view of the game that you've just seen. You should remember it.
I can remember it. Yeah, I have just watched it. It was okay. It was a great result. I thought Ben Johnson had a really good game. I thought Dawson had a really good game. I thought Lingard had a really good game. I thought we looked
Man
like...
Man of the match performance for Lingard?
No, I think Johnson... I thought he was really good. I was really impressed with him. I would say we look like a team that is a decent team without a striker, is what I think we look like. We look like we're sort of haven't got that cutting edge yet. We still scored three goals. I can't understand why we'll ever take a short corner. It's just
you were saying that. So let's talk about formation, because you know I never know about formation. I ask you guys.
It was a Christmas tree, I think.
Bowen up front.
I think Lingard was more up front. I thought he played more advanced than Bowen.
I saw some people, most people were putting Bowen up front, but I thought Lingard was a bit more of a, I don't know if he was playing force nine or not. I'm asking you, what would he have three at the back, or did he have five at the back, or were we going to that old, it's five, sometimes it's three?
I think it was three at the back
with the other two coming back when they needed to defend.
But it looked to me like Lingard was playing in front of Bowen. I didn't think Bowen had a great game, to be honest.
He's been suffering a little bit with some tonsillitis.
Has he been under the weather? Has he?
I'm not sure that actually stops you from playing football, but it probably, anything like that.
Tonsillitis can really take it out of you. It was a great result. I thought Sheffield United were pretty dire. They had a lot of the ball, but they couldn't finish. I thought Fabianski had a good game. Did a couple of good saves. So, overall, just pleased with the result. Glad to be fourth for however long it is.
Yeah. Before we move on to Len, what did you think of the penalty? And there seemed to be a little bit of dispute over whether Lingard or Rice was taking it.
Well, again, I put on a group when we thought we'd got our first penalty in the first 3 minutes. Rice was still there with the ball under his arm, ready to take it. So it looked like he was going to be the designated penalty taker. So I wasn't surprised when he grabbed the ball off of Lingard.
He looks like he's been practicing, because he really meant that, right? I think he's been doing a bit of penalty practicing.
Well, he's obviously very aware that if Noble's not on the pitch, that place is up for begs, isn't it? So he's obviously. But whether the first one was, because there was some discussion whether
I was going to move that question on to Len, but I still disagree. By the way, just talking about Rice, I still disagree that the captain's armband is handed over. What, over an hour has been played by Rice, and he gives over the armband to.
Yeah, it's a strange one, isn't it?
Strange one. But Lenny, let's talk to you. John just brought up a very good point. The first penalty shout. What did you make of that?
It looked like
you've probably only just seen it, because I know your stream was really delayed. So have you seen that yet?
Yeah, that'd be so facetious. Yeah, I mean, I was funny enough. It was I had a feeling we'd get a penalty, and one of the ex-pros told me a few weeks ago that Rice had volunteered at all. He said take responsibility for him. He didn't sound like he wanted to take it, so I knew that he was going to take the penalty. I did think that obviously.
I wish you told us that. We could have had a little bet. I've been having bets for...
I'm sorry, I didn't think that was that important.
I've been taking bets for West Ham to have a penalty for the last two games, just a pound.
Well, we don't get enough, do we? We don't get in the area enough to get enough penalties.
Well, next time an ex-pro gives you something like that, please share it with us so we can have a little betting scam. Anyway,
he's talking to me. He's not talking to anyone else. I mean,
who was it? Can you say?
Well, we're talking about penalties, so I won't give the game away.
Reg Stewart
might have been. Might have been someone else. Might have been Phil Parks. He faced a lot of penalties.
It was Reg Stewart. It was Reg Stewart. You gave that one away.
Oh, I kind of told you, didn't I? Really? No, I wonder if that's going to be the same now as Lingard wasn't there sort of at the time, so maybe that had changed. And I could understand why Lingard would kind of want the penalty, but I wasn't sure it was a great penalty for myself, but you know, well, and he sticked it away. So that's the important thing. But he didn't look like he wanted to take it too much to me. But he did look like he wanted to take responsibility.
Yeah.
So
all right. Well, let's talk about the other flashpoints in the game. Issa Diop, who obviously was only signed off not having concussion, so didn't have to follow the 10-day rule, signed off by a doctor, comes back only because Oggy was out. Belbrena has got a dodgy calf, so didn't even make the squad. So Diop comes in and his return is marked by a goal. Did you think? I don't know how many set pieces. Is that 12 goals we scored from, or is that 13 now?
Well, we seem to get one every game. I was, until that late goal went in, I was about to say, do you think we're ever going to score in open play? Because the last game would have been Palace, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
And I can't remember that.
Yeah. Well, that was, again, we'd just fast forward to the last, you know, late in injury time, a little bit of funny one, I blame John here. Obviously, Frederick scored his goal in the 96th minute. I was already on this podcast shouting, you and Nigel are about 3 minutes behind. But yeah. To be fair, John had already put three in the WhatsApp group before even me. So John must have been watching on BT Sport. I was probably 30 seconds after that, jumping up and down on this live stream. And then about 2 minutes later, Nigel then caught up. And then about a minute later after that, you caught up, Lynn.
Yeah. It went in, that's the important thing. You know, it's like what the striker said. I didn't have to see it live as long as we won. Because they don't say that, you know. But, you know, yeah, pleased with that.
Good. Is it me, what, or man of the match?
Lingard for me, just.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
It's just he brings so much, doesn't he? Without him, I think we're deeper in our own half.
He did a lot of... He was very lively. He's done a lot of running. He doesn't look like a player that's not been playing regularly. But let's move to a very patiently in his living room, in his front room, in his parlour, whatever he wants to call it. Nigel.
Front room, mate, because it's the room at the front.
Three at the back?
Was a kid, my front room was actually in the middle of the house, which may have confused people.
Formation, Nigel, purist?
Formation, I don't get hung up on stuff like it.
Well, they
played 11 players.
Oh, yeah, you always do this. If you don't know, say you don't know.
What do you mean? Well, of course I know. He played three at the back, but which when turned into five at the back when we were defending. He had Bowen up front, interchanging with Lingard and Lanzini at various times, with obviously Souček and Rice old in the middle.
So you're saying interchanging between Bowen and Lingard?
Well, they did, didn't they?
Well, I guess they did, because I couldn't work out which one was. Well, they did, but whether they were supposed to, I don't know. You know, whatever he set out as a formation, you don't know. Maybe he said mix it around. How about Lanzini? Birthday today, 28 years old. Could be sold in the summer, if reports are to be believed, for 15 million. Is he a David Moyes player? Or can he be a David Moyes player, Lanzini?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, he can.
Would you keep him in the squad next season?
Next season? Oh, dear. Listen, it depends what Moyes is planning to do, isn't it, with this 60 million kitty we've supposedly got. So, I'd imagine that 60 million kitty relies on people like Lanzini and Anderson.
Well, it does. Well, I wrote it today, but someone else has written it. So what it relies on is 20 million from Allaire, 15 million from Lanzini, 7 million from Yarmolenko, and the remainder from Philip Anderson, yeah.
Seven million for Yarmolenko? What are you doing, sticking £6.5 million on his back in news notes? He ain't going to get 7 million for him.
It's one of them. He's probably paid 18 at a Turkish wedding. So they've paid 18 million on him now, and now you get to buy him.
We paid 18 million from him, mate. 18 million.
Makes no odds what you paid for him, does it?
You're saying he's not worth, in form, and I know he's got ligament issues at the moment. I think
he's got a lot
in today's market, he's worth, hang on. In today's market, he's worth six or seven million.
Where did you get your figures from? For you, obviously, you've written an article. Where did you get your figures from?
Transfer.
That
market,
was a figure it? Written. No, it wasn't. The figure about Yarmolenko was written by a report, and I forget where it was. It was one of these.
Yeah, well, where's the 15 million for Lanzini come from as well?
That came abroad. That came from a Spanish paper. Who said that he was being touted around for 15 million in the summer? Again, it might be an agent story. 15 million does sound about the right money for Lanzini.
I don't think that's too much money.
Now.
Oh, it's too much money for Lanzini.
Far too much. I know they call him the Joe, but you have to stick a few of them up his arsehole to get that much money.
Anyway,
Jesus Christ.
We'll get back to that. We've slightly digressed from the game, Nigel. Let's go back to the game. Who was your man of the match?
Lingard seemed to do more with the ball when we had it. I think Dawson done well at the back. Johnson played well. Kufau had a good game, could have scored a goal.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's hard to pick out. It was another good overall team performance. No complaints about anyone. Not even Lanzini. I thought Lanzini was busy. You know, there's been a lot of a social media negativity in certain areas in regards to what we've done in the transfer market, what Moyes has done after the Fulham game.
Yeah.
And I just think that perhaps we need to try and enjoy the moment.
Yeah, I agree.
There's still a lot of negativity around certain, you know, people would, I'd just dip my head in on Twitter and, you know, moaning about Noble coming on. What a substitution. Would he do that for, you know, it's Moyes being negative at 2-0.
He's using the squad, isn't he?
He's using the squad and saving legs, I would imagine.
And what people forget is Noble's experience is probably worth 5 yards in pace. And his ability to pass the ball moves 10 times faster than a player running with the ball when you pass it. And what Noble has got is a great passing ability. So I haven't got a problem whatsoever with anything that happened today. The only funny thing about it is I did think that the penalty that we were given and was deemed to be a penalty by VAR before being disallowed for being offside. One of the highlights why I think VAR's a bit stupid.
Yeah.
Because perhaps it should be like cricket. You can only appeal for what you're appealing for. So if you're appealing for a catch behind, but it looks like it could be LBW, he's not out. It was just, you know, we appealed for a penalty. VAR checks the penalty. And then it seems like VAR checked everything else to make sure we didn't get the penalty. But I didn't think it was a penalty.
Now, you the said one that on at the
Dawson.
Time.
Yeah, it was a nothing. I don't even think Dawson thought it was a penalty.
Well, they didn't really appeal, did they?
No. The referee, who was the ref?
Oh, Madley, I think. Was it something Madley?
Is it Bobby Madley's brother, is it?
Yeah, I think so.
So, that's highlighted why I think VAR's still stupid. They ain't going to get rid of it no matter what the fans, you know, think. I think most fans are in favour of VAR.
I just need to use it as they said they were going to use it for clear and obvious errors as opposed for everything.
Yeah, I mean, even Dawson's offside wasn't clear and obvious, was it?
No. But then did you see that game? Was it Harry Maguire yesterday? He was offside for the penalty that he was given, and then they checked it, and he went and checked it on the screen. Didn't give it because he didn't think it was a penalty, but it was clearly offside in the build-up, and there was no mention of that at all.
Yeah,
so it seems to be even sort of hit and miss from the VAR side.
Yeah, it's just VAR for me is a goal killer. It don't give goals. It chalks goals off, and football's all about goals because goals are fun, people.
Goals are fun.
But yeah, happy days, onwards and upwards, maybe. Next five games are going to be a bit tougher. We're going to talk about the next five games.
Might as well.
Might as well.
Oh, sorry, where's Sean? Have you left or something?
The host is obviously very busy.
Yeah, he's obviously watching the Chelsea game.
Yeah.
No, I wasn't watching the Chelsea game. I was just listening to what we predicted last week, and I was just playing back. You predicted a draw, by the way, John. I didn't quite get to the others, but...
Well, you cajoled me into saying win.
He's desperate to be proved right, isn't he? Look,
no, you said 2-1 loss. You said 2-1 loss to Man United and draw to Sheffield United. I haven't heard the rest of it yet. But I thought it would be a lot tougher than it was tonight. So
yeah. It wasn't 1-0, was it, Sean? So I don't know why you're listening to the predictions.
Yeah,
I know. I said 1-0.
It wasn't easy, Sean, was it? Yeah, it wasn't easy.
Sheffield wasn't easy. I mean, before our penalty, I could see them scoring, but their heads went down after
the penalty. I mean, there was a great save by Fabian.
Yeah, but their heads went down. You could say it just was. I mean,
it's because he headed the ball down. I mean, even
that header went straight into. I mean, you could say we rode our luck, but it just wasn't Sheffield United's night. And that header went straight at Fabianski. Every shot seemed to be way off target. They're lacking confidence, and I think they're done. You know,
I think they're lacking quality.
Yeah, they've lost a few players for injury.
It's a shame because I like Chris Wilder, but they're done. McGoldrick's
not a Premier League striker. He'd probably struggle to get goals in the Championship, but he's all they've got up front. Oliver McBurnie, they got from Swansea. It hasn't really worked.
I thought they'd bring on that Liverpool guy who was supposed to be coming to West Ham.
Yeah.
Wasn't he a West Ham fan or something? Isn't he a West Ham fan?
He was on our books as a kid. He comes out of Chad Relief.
I don't know
whether he was a West Ham fan or not.
He's a local lad, yeah?
What are you calling local? I wouldn't call Chad Relief local to West Ham, no.
well, local to Chadwell Heath. People in that kind of area tend to be. It's a West Ham stomping ground, right? It's not a typical Spurs area, is it? Or
of course, you
Arsenal
remember what
area.
The link between Chadwell Heath and West Ham was, Sean, didn't you?
Well, beyond that's where our other training ground is. Gordon. Yes. No,
right. No, I was just making sure that you still.
Of course,
remember.
I know. We still own Chadwell Heath, obviously. No, I know. Yeah.
But
anyway.
Yeah, so...
What else have you got to say before the game, before we move on to the...
Well, I was just going to move on to the next five games.
Well, let me ask you about the injuries. So, obviously, David Moyes has been a bit economical with the truth, you know. So, he's been saying Mikel Antonio's got fatigue. Well, we all know that he hasn't got fatigue. He's got a hamstring issue.
Didn't you tell us he was like 90-odd% going to be playing?
99%.
I was told that by someone. He faced a fitness test, and I was very clear for that even today. And he failed that fitness test. So if he's failed a fitness test, he's not going to be on the bench. But they were hoping, right? He didn't train all week, but they were hoping he would be fit for today. But you know what? I agree with David Moyes. And you said this, I think, last week, John. There's no point in having a 80% fit Mikel Antonio on the pitch. That's what Fulham was. You've got to have 100% fit Antonio, otherwise he's just not worth playing. He's only got one speed, and that's 100% full out running. Otherwise, he's not effective.
Well, that's obviously what he's got Lingard in for, isn't it? Lingard is our new striking option.
Yeah, well, extra. He did say our extra striking option. So I agree. Wait for Antonio to be 100% fit. We've obviously lost Ogbonna. I think we've got to come up against some better opposition to find out whether...
Well, we haven't got long to wait then.
Well, I know. And obviously, Balbuena had a calf injury. And he said he might not make
Which
it.
Which one?
I think he had a stutter there, Brainer. Sean.
Balbuena
has got a calf injury. So, you know, fair play. I hope Diop keeps his place now. So my question, Nigel, with the injuries we've got, and we've obviously got Jan Malenko out, was it the best squad? It was quite a lot of youngsters. I didn't know if you looked at the bench, but you had two centre-backs in Frederick Alves and Jamal Baptiste. You had Connor Coventry, who's a defensive midfielder, as cover. And you had Meepo as a striker. Am I missing anyone else out? No, that was it, wasn't it?
Why wasn't the Fornells in the squad?
Do you know what? That is a really good question, which I didn't actually spot until you've just mentioned it, Lenny.
There you go.
That's so probably a story. Mystery of Fornells, missing Fornells. I
the
see it now.
Machine out
get the mystery
get
machine out. Yeah.
The mystery headline. I love that headline. I did like that mystery machine, Lenny. That was one of your. That was one
I
of
have
your
to put
ones.
That up on the group. The listeners won't know what we're talking about, will they? Only the tweeters. You know, there's more to laugh on Twitter.
Is there?
Yeah.
Anything else we want to talk about before we talk about
Man United?
Game?
No.
Yes, that's a very good point. It was Len last week that reminded me, and it's you this week. Man United, we lost, but you're right, we haven't recorded since. So let's start with you again, John. Anything to say about it? Obviously, we got knocked out, but we gave it a go, didn't we?
Not really.
Did we?
I think it's probably the worst performance I've seen for a long time. It was close to the Liverpool performance and not far from the Fulham performance. It felt
really.
We seemed to come out one
you
or
know,
two.
You
ways.
Know, we lost in extra time. Yeah, we held them for a long time. So when you say we were heading for penalties,
awful.
Right? So when
we
you
were
say
awful.
We gave it a go from a point of view. We held them and stopped them playing their game.
One of the worst games of football I've seen for ages.
It was boring. 106 minutes we held them for.
We seem to come out one or two ways against the bigger teams. We either seem to come out with an inferiority complex and sit back and just don't do anything is what we did then. Or we come out and have a punt and have a go at them where sometimes we turn them over. And I don't know what it is and why we come out with differently. Try not to lose by the look of it.
Yeah, hang out to penalties.
Yeah.
Well, I can't.
It was awful. It was an awful game, football. Really disappointing.
Yeah, and, it was awful to watch.
And I was hopeful. Said at work today, I hope we don't get the same team, the same performance that we've had for the Liverpool, Fulham and the Man United. And tonight was a mixture of, to be fair, it wasn't up there with the Villa performance, but it was a lot better than the Man U performance.
Did you think it could have been our year?
No.
No.
But I'm a pessimistic West Ham fan.
Yeah. Lenny.
Yes, mate.
FA Cup, fifth round.
Yeah. Weren't happening, was it?
Strong team, though.
No,
we
announced
what do you mean? What,
well,
who would you have
Antonio
announced?
Antonio in it, did it?
Well, Antonio
wasn't
fit, as we know now.
Tonight either, but if we ain't got Antonio or Lingard, then where's the goal attempts going to come from? We saw what
Meepo,
happened when we pushed.
Did he hang the young kid out to dry? After using, so obviously his plan B, Yarmolenko, he put Yarmolenko out. I mean, you haven't mentioned this, but we had a lot of injuries during that game, John, and maybe we'll talk about this with Len.
We did.
You know, we lost
Ogbonna being the worst one.
So obviously, Martial came in, high studs. He's going to be out up to 4 weeks with a high ankle strain. Diop comes in to replace him and becomes then got a massive egg shaped bump on his head. Goes off at half time to be replaced by Fredericks, becoming the first concussion sub in the history of English football. Pub quiz question there. And we lost Yarmolenko with knee ligament. So, you know, if you lose three players, I know we had five substitutes, or was it seven? We were allowed seven, actually. We're allowed five substitutes in the FA Cup with another two concussion substitutes. So we used one of those concussion substitutes. Did that ruin the game? Lenny?
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Sorry, all I heard was your phone, someone's phone going. I didn't hear the...
Oh, I didn't hear any phone.
Sorry.
Did the injuries ruin the game and our chances?
I thought Moyes was somewhat unlucky because I did like the tactical switch he'd done at half-time because we didn't have an outlet the first half and... If we was to bring on Benrahma to be the outlet, we'd have had one outlet 20 yards ahead of the defence because we wasn't getting the ball. By bringing on wing-backs, we got two outlets 5 yards away. So we got more of the ball that way. Lo and behold, we was unlucky for Yarmolenko to go off. Although he's not my favourite player, at least he could attack the ball in the air, which, as you had wing-backs, was going to be more effective. He went off, and then it was Meepu that went on, wasn't it? From him, was it? And that kind of put play to that, really. So there was an element of bad luck, but, you know, it's gone, isn't it? It's in the past, really, now, already.
Yeah, it is.
So,
Nigel, I know you're a big Cup fan.
Yes.
Did Moyes get it wrong? Were the players not up for it?
Do you know what? It looked like he was playing for penalties at one point.
Really? No one does, do they?
Well, when we went into extra time, it was a bit of a nothing game, really. We didn't seem to show much attacking intent. But then again, no Lingard. Chelsea had just scored 1-0. Giroud on for Tammy Abrams. And means everybody can stop crowing about being fourth.
Hey, you're not over yet.
No, that's true. The game's not over. But as you were saying, Len, if you're fourth, you're fourth. Well, guess what? We're not.
Well, we are because I ain't finished.
Well, no, but you were talking live.
Anyway, Chelsea haven't scored on my stream yet. Well, leave me to be fourth in Castellanzuka.
Let us know when they have, Len.
All right, okay.
You're like a time traveller, aren't you?
Yeah, I am. Stop messing about in my reality.
Yeah.
Oh, here we go.
Here we go.
He's coming down the left.
Yeah, watch the cross. Yeah, oh, bad. Look at that. Comical defending by Newcastle. There you go.
There's our big nose scored.
But I just think I don't know. It was he put out a strong enough team.
Yeah,
but it was a game. I don't know. It was almost like he was half hoping that Man United wouldn't fancy it. That's what it looked like.
Would you say he put out the best team he could?
No.
No, me neither.
No, I don't think so.
Who would you... So, just to bring that up then, who would you put out then, John or Nigel?
I mean, he got hampered a bit, didn't he, with the players going down. I'm not sure that was the game to bring on the 18-year-old, Mippo or Beppo or whatever we want to call him, Becco.
Yeah.
I don't think that was the game to bring him on away at Old Trafford.
Yeah. Needs must, though.
Yeah. I mean, worse West Ham teams have beat better Man United teams at Old Trafford.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough. Anyway, we are out, and we could say as much as we want. Who do you want to win the FA Cup now? Or do you don't care?
I couldn't care less.
I'm trying to think the teams are in it. Everton, I think.
Really? Okay, fair enough.
I think Everton are going to make the top four.
Well, the funny thing about it is that all the things. So we're sitting, let's say we're sitting fourth. All right, Chelsea, whatever. Chelsea have got a game, but that'll only be goal difference when they go above us. If there's two teams below us with two games in hand, that if they win those games in hand, we'll go above us. But the reason why I don't ever get hung up on that is because the most important thing is not games in hand, but points on the board. Everton, yeah. I think, have had three chances to go above us and have blown all three chances in since we've gone above Everton. I think Villa is the other team with two games in hand. If they win them, they'll be above us on goal difference. But I'd rather be in our position than having games in hand, that's for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
well, we're safe now. That's the main thing.
Oh, that is true.
That is safe.
We are safe.
Yeah.
We are safe. We are safe. We're not going to get relegated this season.
No.
Woo! So talking of that, let's talk about the next five games. And just to let you know, if you didn't know already, we've got Spurs next Sunday.
I only found that out today, funny enough.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The following Saturday, we've got Man City away, followed by Leeds at home on the 6th of March. And then we've got Man United away, back to Old Trafford on the 13th of March. And to round it off, nothing. I don't know why we even mentioned five, because they're just a mid-table obscurity team. We've then got Arsenal at home.
Well, we're back to where we were at the beginning of the season, where we looked at the fixtures then and thought, that's us down. So
what do we reckon? Spurs are not in good form, are they? So if it's worth, you know, I didn't say they're there for the taking, but, you know, if we're on our game.
Say that the teams they've lost to recently have been teams above them. I mean, I think they lost to Man City, didn't they, recently?
Mm.
They did.
I think so.
So when you say
I think it'll be a tough game.
If we can get 5 points out of the next five games, I'm really happy.
You're happy. Well, we won't ask for predictions because we're going to do it at the end. Man City, I can't see us getting anything about Man City away. That Man City are back in form, scoring goals for fun, embarrassed quite a few clubs, and hard to see us really winning that game. Saving our goal difference, I guess.
I mean, if we're worrying about Arsenal, Arsenal are 8 points behind us. And if you look down, you look up, you know, we're 4 points behind Man United in second.
Yeah.
It's...
Well, ignoring the game, and I'd do it at your peril, against Leeds on the 6th of March and moving on to Old Trafford. We haven't won in Old Trafford since Carlos Tevez won in 2007, scored the goal. Do you see us doing any better? They're in second place. Does anyone see us doing any better at Old Trafford?
Think it's possible.
In March? Well, really?
The way they played yesterday, yeah.
I've got another great stat for you, Sean.
Go on, then.
So, someone... on a general football Facebook group I'm a member of, did this, and it was quite in depth. And what they looked at was every result so far in the Premier League, and then compared it to the past five seasons that ended with a one. So they went back into the old First Division and looked at the percentage of home wins to away wins. And so far this season, only 37% of games played have been a home win, which is 10% right. down on the average.
Right.
So it shows there not having fans in the ground does even it up. And so therefore, I think we could have a chance.
Well, do you know what the super... So I've done a story on this, but I've just updated it now. The supercomputer used by footballwebpages.co.uk updates as they see the predicted final league table. They've got Man City's champions at 98 points. They've got Leicester City second, believe it or not, on 75 points. Man United third on 70 points. Liverpool fourth on 68 points. Sorry, we're not going to make Champions League. Fifth place, Aston Villa on 67 points. Chelsea, six on 65 points. And there's West Ham, seventh place, grabbing a Europa spot, maybe. Does it go down seventh this year?
Depends who wins the cups.
On 64 points, with a goal difference of plus 13, winning 17 games, drawing 13, and losing 8.
What's this got to do with anything? We're fourth now.
2-0.
Yeah, we are fourth, but I'm just talking the end of the season. But that does put us, right,
what, in this... Nostradamus or what?
In this... Well, it's a supercomputer. You can't
diss a supercomputer. Nonsense.
In this supercomputer prediction, Spurs do finish 8th, Everton finish 9th, and Arsenal finish 10th. Just saying. You never know.
Well, that would make this our best ever Premier League season.
Oh, Chelsea are turning up.
Yeah.
They were going to do it anyway. That's a Newcastle or a little bit of a downward spiral, to be honest.
Ooh, 1-2-3.
Who? Newcastle?
Newcastle. The best form of the season.
What do I know about football? Is you
another Sean classic.
Yeah.
I thought I've just remembered them losing game. I don't follow their results, if I'm honest with you.
Or West Ham's come to think of it.
We're moving on to the last game. Arsenal at home, out of the five. We fancy ourselves against Arsenal at the London Stadium, John.
If the right West Ham turn up, mate, I'm happy with playing anyone.
Right.
Apart from City, we normally lose 4-0.
How many points? So those five games, Nigel's already said he'd be happy with five. What do you say? How many points?
I'm going to go for six.
Six.
Yeah. Okay. Big 6 points. Out of
we're going to draw all the games?
No, we're going to win two.
The next five games or six games?
Five.
Next five games.
Next five.
Maximum of 15, just so...
Four. Do you know what I'm feeling? I'm feeling that when we come up against a team that are historically better than us, under Moyes we get nothing. Yet when we play these games, like as we've done tonight, and just the teams that we should go out and give them a game and probably beat them. We do beat them. And it's getting somewhat predictable. I'm not complaining about that, you know.
Well, in January, we've only lost two games, isn't it? In January, we've only lost two games. Who have we lost to? Liverpool and Man United.
That's did it. You say that before, Lynn, or did someone else say that to me?
Someone else might have said it.
Well, it's the same.
I definitely thought it, but I can't remember what I say and what I think anymore. It's been so much time on my own.
it is true. It's getting to the point where the teams that we would expect to roll over, where we always used to lose, we're now beating them teams and just have this inferiority complex against the bigger teams.
Yeah. It's good to be like that. It's good to actually, you know, because for years... We've had seasons. I mean, the season under Kerbishley, like when we last won against Man United, you know, we stayed up by the skin of our teeth. It's the only season ever we've beat Arsenal and Man United home and away in the Premier League. Never done it before. That's when Arsenal were a top two team and Man United were champions.
It's good to... But in the respect of where you see like an Arsenal not being very good anymore... and like the Man United are so inconsistent, it'd be nice to give them the odd beating, wouldn't it?
But only Newcastle, realistically, have beat us that now you would think, well, what, you know, we should never have lost that game. But then you think, well, it was the first game of the season, and I think we got caught cold.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to be a bit more optimistic. I'm going to go for 9 points. As I do in Super 6, right, I predict wins or losses. I don't do draws. So I'm going to go for a win over all the clubs that are below us and a loss for all the clubs that are above us. So win against, 1-0 win against Spurs, a loss against Man City, a win against Leeds, loss against Man United, a win against Arsenal. 9 points. Which will put us on 51 points by the end of March. Not see it happening, do you? I'm not winning you over, am I?
Yeah. Well,
rule nothing out. It's possible, but not probable.
Do you want to change your 5 points? You said I'll be happy with 5 points.
No, I'll
what
be happy.
What do you think we'll get?
Well, the thing is, in 5 games' time, if you look at Arsenal, they looked untouchable. They let Leeds back into the game. 4-0, Aubameyang gets his first hat trick. Arsenal look like back to playing some of their best football. But if they continue in that vein, then you're going to be worried. Bearing in mind that Arsenal were poor this season, still managed to beat us already.
Well, after that run of five, obviously, we've only got 9 games left. And our run-in was we play Wolves, then Leicester City, then Newcastle, then Chelsea, then Burnley, then Everton, then Brighton, and final. Oh, West Bromwich Albion, relegate them. And the final game of the season, Southampton.
Yeah.
So this is our bad run, isn't it?
This is the most intense run. I wouldn't call it a bad run. This is an intense, because you can't, you know, Leicester ain't at the end of the day.
Leicester's a good team. You're right. They've got a good chance to finish the Champions League.
I just hope that if we only get, the thing I hope is that if we only get 5 points out of the next 5 games, people ain't back to the old, you know, oh, we had the chance to push on. There's so many
Moyes
people,
out.
I don't know why. Not Moyes out. I don't know why. They seem to forget where we've come from to get to this position now, how we've got here. But for me, the proof's in the pudding's next season.
I mean, you can accept where we are and what we're doing, but you can't moan at people who think, you know, we've got an opportunity here and we could have pushed on.
Well, I think you can. I think you can go, hold up, people. Let's try and build something rather than...
This season is like no other, isn't it? It's a really strange season. And I do believe that if we'd have gone out and just got a striker, we would finish higher than we're likely to.
It is possible, funny enough, much like 2016, that this is the chance for us to finish in the top four, because a lot of the clubs are falling by the wayside. I mean, Spurs, as we said, you know, Spurs have dropped off. Yeah, Arsenal,
right, you just said about Everton.
But Everton, I mean, when you look back, Everton sacked their manager around the same time as we sacked Pellegrini. You know, they went out and got Ancelotti, far superior manager. You know,
they were going to get Moyes back, you know.
You know, far superior manager. And we
agreed
in
the deal.
You know, we brought in David Moyes.
Yeah. But as Len pointed out, you know, at one point they were talking about getting Moyes.
They'd agreed. They'd agreed the deal, I heard. I'm not saying you told me that, though.
I can't see...
Ray Stewart.
Yeah.
Can I believe it? I'm not sure if it was Ray who told me about the penalty now. Like I said to John, I can't remember who tells me what.
I can't believe they were going to get Moyes. But I can't believe that Mashuri, who's the money man with Usmanov, allegedly, I'll add, behind him. I can't see them going for a Moyes type manager.
But I mean, I accept if we had invested and got a striker in and we did finish fourth, that we probably wouldn't be able to sustain that next season, and we'd probably fall away and collapse anyway.
No, but the mad thing is we were talking about Diego Costa, and a lot of people were going, nah, I don't want him. But if Diego Costa, so if we got him in at 200 grand a week.
And that's what he wants, by the way. Right, he was offered say, to us at 200 grand a week. So, which yeah, look,
200 grand a week.
Yeah, but like I say, you don't give him 200 grand a week. You give him £4 million signing on fee and 100 grand a week.
No, hold up. Say we give him the 200 grand a week. Yeah. So he's here for what, 10 weeks?
Yeah.
12 weeks? So if he fires us two places higher or place higher, he's near enough paid back the money. So there's a bit
he
of
doesn't
me
want him though. I mean,
no, I'm
let's
not
be respectful
that.
To Moyes.
Yeah, no,
it's
I
not
am.
About the money. Moyes didn't want him and was very
that.
Clear about it.
I know that, but what I'm trying to allude to is the fact is that perhaps if they had gone out, I know he didn't want him and whatever, but if a player like that, a striker, let's face it, we do, it's probable we're. Are you going to be happy with that front line going up against the likes of Man United's back line, going up against Man City's back line, going up against Arsenal's back line?
Yeah, no, we're going to struggle, aren't we? Lingard seems to have a shoot on side policy at the moment.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and that's the thing. There's a bit of me where I'm always saying, hold up, let's remember where we come from. There's a bit of me thinks, well, actually, this is the year, if you was going to do it, to actually go and do it. And they didn't have to spend big.
But that's been and gone. It's like crying over spilt milk.
But
that's
how I feel. You can still talk about it, Sean.
All right.
That's how I feel.
But you seem slightly disrespectful to David Moyes, to be honest. He's doing
a
great job.
Disrespectful to him. Yeah, don't talk about disrespect after the fucking shit that you have wrote this week.
Yeah.
Because if you want to go down that road, yeah, I'll pull you apart.
Well, we already have pulled him apart, really.
But, see, this is where I miss out because I just don't read any of it.
I wish I had, to be fair.
What have we had? What have we had this week then that's even more disrespectful than normal?
Claret and you went to war with Trevor Sinclair.
I didn't go to war. We put opinion. Trevor Sinclair.
What's wrong with Trevor Sinclair?
He was on Jim White's show, and he went
on
for
it.
The owners.
He's one of the presenters on it.
He's one of the presenters. He went for the owners again, blame the owners, and David Moyes saying, don't know why. About Jesse Lingard, why did he sign Jesse Lingard? Why didn't he sign a striker? I blame the owners. This is not on. It's not fair on the West Ham fans. So I ran that story, and we put a Clarence Hugh view that you know, he has a reputation of being a bit anti-board. He's spoken out against the board numerous times.
He's got a reputation of being arse lickers to the board.
And pro-board.
Yeah,
but we're entitled for the opinion. But people coming out on Twitter and saying he's a West Ham legend, I'm not sure I agree.
Hold on, Twitter is the reason you exist in the circumstance that you are.
Yeah, but I'm.
If
not,
it wasn't for
Twitter,
you wouldn't be.
But I'm not. He's not a West Ham legend. I'm entitled to an opinion.
Don't mean to say you should disrespect him.
No, I'm sorry.
It wasn't disrespected. It was an opinion.
Well, you called him sad. Not you personally, but your website did.
Yeah.
Now, listen, last week, Trevor Sinclair came out and said, if they buy a striker, the fans should lay off Brady, Sullivan and Gold. I saw that because I commented against it. Because I said, what's Brady got to do with signing a striker? So
he seems to have a problem with the board saying that Moyes didn't sign a striker because of the board and actually laying into the board.
He's independent of the situation.
No, it's not true.
It is true.
No, it's not true.
The board are shit.
In your opinion, Sean, it ain't true.
The board are shit, Sean.
David Moyes came out very clearly and said, I had the money. I decided not to use it. He had up to 30 million available. We know he bid that kind of amount for someone else. He wants to buy the Sevilla striker, I forget his name, for 40 million in the summer. He's looking at Danny Ings, as many other people are, in the summer. He decided to make his priority Jesse Lingard, and we should respect him for that. And if I want to have a view about Trevor Sinclair,
No, but
I'm
it's the
have
way,
my opinion
I'm
as
sorry,
well.
It's the way it's worded, Sean.
You
declare it a new thing and whatever. It's pot calling kettle black. It's like you're totally ignorant to the crap that you lot come out with. And because someone's taking the opposing view to Claret and you have to go after and try and rubbish it.
And we get stick all the time. So what does it matter?
You didn't pull the shirt on, Sean. Trevor Sinclair did.
Well, that's fine. And
that's why
he's entitled to his opinion.
When they're right to.
All right, fine. Well, you're entitled to your opinion, they're entitled to their opinion. But equally, it's free press, as far as I'm aware, and I'm allowed to give an opinion.
Yeah,
Trev.
Yeah, that's right. But the thing is,
yeah,
as
that's
a
fine.
Saint,
absolutely,
right?
We gave two different opinions. But don't crucify everybody just because they've got
no,
a different
I'll
opinion.
No, crucify yous for it.
All right, but Paul Coburn is Paul Coburn from Hammers United.
I'll screw it together and nail you up to it.
All right, fair enough. You're entitled to your opinion, but you know, I disagree with you, and I don't see a big problem. With our
no, but
opinion,
that's your
if you don't
problem,
like
Sean.
It, yeah,
that's,
well, no,
that's
not
your,
my problem.
See,
that's
your disagreement with everybody's opinion based on this is 100% based on your financial benefit of what
that's,
you do.
That's not
that
true.
Is Sean, because
that's not
10
true.
Years ago you thought exactly the same way as me about everything about football, and since you've got involved in this side of football and the money comes rolling in and you get your favours and whatever. Your opinion has changed.
So I didn't do it to support the board. That wasn't the part of it. I wrote it. I take full responsibility of it. Did I expect it to have the backlash it did? Absolutely not. But you know what? Sometimes I write up to 20 stories a day and I don't think about it. I don't think about suddenly, well, did I?
But that's your
detachment
as a fan,
mark?
Though, Sean. And this is
well,
the thing.
Possibly,
it
possibly.
Is. You ain't a fan no more, Sean.
But you know what? I didn't. Isn't it funny that the people that complain about and gave me our time are the normal people that are always on my back? They are the people who hate the board, and will stick the knife in anything. And again, mostly on Twitter, not on Facebook. The people that came into the Facebook forum tend to be a certain group of people who hate the board. So there did seem to be the backlash from the anti-board people.
Which
but
is
I'm,
where
I'm,
you're always
I'm
going
happy.
To get it.
I'm thick skinned.
Because you're pro-board.
That's where you're
thick-skinned. I take it on the nose. Should
well,
we
you
have
probably
called,
will do one.
Hang
day,
on.
Hang on yeah.
Should we have called...
Let me be
should we have called... should we have called Trevor Brooking sad? No, right?
Not Trevor Brooking, Trevor Sinclair.
Trevor Sinclair sad. Yeah, that was it. Who was I writing about? No. All right. But you know, I made a judgment call. I wrote a story. I still stand by it. But if it upset people, I apologise. I don't ever do it to offend people. And if Trevor Sinclair
talked to
me... You
do it to generate clicks and make money. That's what you do it for. And you clutch at anything you can. And this is what I'm saying. You are no longer the fan that I used to go to football with. You are a money generating journalist type person who's there. You're like Adrian Durham. You're just there.
All right,
to generate
but
clicks
there's
and
a lot
stories.
Of people around football that generate money. How if you
yeah,
take
you
that
don't
analogy,
bring anything
then everybody
to the fan
who's,
base anymore.
Hang on. If we're going to take that analogy, then you could say that about all the YouTube channels and all the other podcasts that exist and all the ex players who now do go on TalkSport, you know, and to be controversial.
Yeah, I can say a lot of them.
You know?
A lot of them say and do what they do because they toe the line because they still have connections.
Absolutely. Some toe the line and some say it just to be a bit shock jock.
No, some say it, saying, say it because they're aware of the mood of the fan base.
You know, you could argue in the same way Jim White is in with David Sullivan and is pro board, it's
and
almost
you?
they've set up Trevor Sinclair to be the opposite, to balance it out. You know, if I was being cynical, it's been set up that way by Lee Clayton, who's head of TalkSport. Call me a conspiracy theorist. But anyway, is this really interesting? I get that you didn't like that article. Fair enough.
I didn't know right? nothing about it.
Yeah. Anyway, let's move on. There's been more takeover rumours this week.
Gersey
first story was
crap.
Well, it was, because the first one was run by, I think it was The Athletic, to say the grocer, Joseph De Grocer, was wanted to buy Southampton for 200, but he was only prepared to pay 150. He wasn't prepared to pay 200 in pandemic. So instead, he was going to buy Newcastle or West Ham. I wrote a story after that saying West Ham would want at least £500 million. Today, Football Insider, which I don't give a lot of credence, to be honest, their journalists, by the way, just to talk about journalists, their journalists only get paid for writing exclusives. So everything in Football Insider has to be exclusive. And then it's syndicated around different websites. But that's another story. They wrote the story today saying West Ham want £600 million. Look. It ain't happening. If the let's ask you, Nigel, is the grocer going to happen?
No. And we've got inside track on that a little bit.
Yeah, and why wouldn't it happen? Inside track.
Well, if he ain't going to pay, let's face it, let's look at it without inside track. If he ain't paying £200 million for Southampton, he ain't paying £500 million or £450 million or £400 million at a push for West Ham.
Well,
he
only wants to pay £150, he ain't going to buy West Ham for £150. So it's a dead story. It's nothing. We said we're only doing an hour tonight. Last one I want to talk to you all about. Obviously, the results from Hamish United polls come out. Allegedly 5,530 took the survey. I say allegedly because they had said on TalkSport, Andy had said 1,000. Now it's 5,000. I'm not disputing that it was 5,330, but I just question why the difference between going on the radio and releasing it. Nigel, what did you make of the results?
It told us nothing new, did it? Amers United took a... I don't know if they took a gamble or not. Everybody's
43%. 43% of their members took
if
it.
Works
out about 2,500 or so.
Look, this is two ways. So if you look at it from a point of view, normally you'll say if you get over 1,000 people, that's reflective.
That's exactly what Andy said.
Yeah? So if you get over 1,000, so you're happy. Yeah?
Yeah.
So they got 5,000 people to take it. You know, funny enough, I wrote an article in West Ham Till I Die that publicised it. You know, we publicised it. You know, well done for those that got named for publicising it. I'm not bitter, don't worry.
Didn't name this podcast for clarity.
Funny enough,
isn't
it? Yeah, but don't worry. I didn't publicise it for that anyway. So we publicise it. Now, they come out and they say, firstly, the fact that when you're an organisation that represent members, the only people you're really beholden to is your members. To then turn around and say, well, we're not giving it to you, the results to you until the club looked at it. Well, I'm afraid that shouldn't how it work. You're beholden to your members, not to the people at the club. The club can see it at the same time. It don't matter. You give it or show it to the people that took the survey. So I think they sort of shot themselves in the foot by saying, yeah, we got the results back, but we're not telling you because we're going to show the club first. And then it was 2 weeks later before the results come out. People sort of moved on since then. But then you play the numbers game and then you look at it and you think, here's an organisation claiming 18,000 membership and only 2,500 of their membership could be bothered to take an art survey. That is not a good look. If you're sitting in, if I'm now working for West Ham, I'm thinking, who are you again? And quite how they see it gives them a mandate to walk into an SAB meeting and go bald out. I don't think it, in my eyes, no, it don't. Again, as I've always said, Amers United should concentrate on being a protest group. I think that, you know, there's an argument to be had that, you know, I've always been Brady out first, in that you go after Brady for a reason because that's more achievable than GSB out. And I don't know. I'm not saying there's a crossroads. They've got an hardcore support that will always back them GSB out. Long term, though, especially with the SAB, whatever. I don't dress it up. It's the SAB. Yeah, they're sitting down with six other groups that, frankly, Whistler and Members United said, we're not going to go into those meetings, because they could have sat on the SAB and they could have applied for it. But they said, no, we're not doing it. Well, now what they've done is they're sitting down with the same people that are there.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm not going to put the boot anymore. It's their bed. They can lie in it. Let's see how they get on. I've got my reservations, whether this be any more than the two previous incarnations I was on.
For Hammers United, I think we will see when everything gets back to some kind of normality. They had a momentum going into this pandemic. They had a momentum and they were growing. So the fact that a lot of people didn't take this survey or whatever at this particular time, I wouldn't read great amount into that, because
there's a bit of apathy, I think, in general.
I think there's a lot of people I speak to don't even watch football hardly anymore.
Yeah.
Can't stand watching it with the crowd noise.
Yeah.
Or the
always
thing,
had apathy. You know, 50% of what people gripe about at the owners are probably, you know, things that have gone now. So there's nothing to be done about it. And then they had momentum because we were
still...
There's
a thing, crying over spilt milk.
There's people protesting. They were getting traction because of how bad we were doing in the league. You know, at the end of the day, would the press have come out against the owners last year? This time last year, we were looking at relegation and the press was on, you know, Sky supplement and everything. People, journalists were coming out against the owners. They're not doing
But that was also a reaction to the fact that there was organising marches and stuff like that going on.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that the press are not doing that now, are they? They're not coming out against the ownership.
But let's see, that's like John... Like John said, let's see what happens when the pandemic
when things get some sort of normality
back.
And see if...
I don't want to kick them when they're down. I think they've lost the momentum due to the pandemic. I'm personally not sure that it will ever come back again, especially after the season we've had. But it looks like we're going down. I know their tag is back the regime, back the team, not the regime.
That's your tag, Sean.
Let's see.
John,
Lenny can hear you, but no one else. He's had a technical problem. Can you ask him for his prediction?
Can we have your prediction, please, for Spurs?
1-0 West Ham, if you can hear me, not John.
I can hear you loud.
Oh, good. You're all I can hear. 1-0 West Ham, Sean.
That's all you need, Lenny. 1-0 West Ham.
All right. So what's your prediction against Spurs, John?
I'm going to go 2-1 West Ham.
Okay. Nigel?
Draw 1-1.
That doesn't leave me a lot, does it? I'm going to go for 0-0.
Ooh.
I don't usually do that, but... I said earlier that I was going to go for the point. 3-0 West Ham! There you go. 4-3. 4-3 West Ham. There we go. Anyway, I've been Sean. Lenny has been.
Lenny, what have you been?
I've been happy in fourth place temporarily. Yeah.
That's a good one.
I don't know what you said. John, you have been.
I've been listening to Lenny.
and Nigel has been.
Oh, dear. Sitting in a dark room.
Anyway, that's all the time we have this week. No questions, sorry. We recorded after the match and we got things to do. I'm sure we'll be back with questions next week and normal podcast length. Bye.
Bobby Moore.
Come on, you Irons.
More than just a podcast.
Bye.
Bobby Moore. More than just a podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.